they were singing it, and a lot of people were flooding the altar to get it.
Yeah.
More grace.
Amen.
You got to come to the throne
that
you might obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need.
Amen.
The song was what was speaking about His grace, but you don't get the grace from the song. You get the grace from the throne. You go over to the throne to receive grace. You know, and then we can shout about it because we feel it. We feel that grace when we ask for it. And we got the feeling that grace over right now. And the more they sung, the more grace we got. You know, and the more sin that abound, grace doth much more abound. And in the day we're living in, with sin abounding, we need more grace. We need more grace. Old preacher says, where sin's abounding like this, grace is much more abounding. You know, it's abounding like this. Grace is much more. And it's to help us to live godly and soberly and righteously in this present world. That's what grace is about. Grace ain't a license to sin. Grace ain't a permission you go out and live anyway. Grace will enable you to live a righteous life and to live a godly life. Ain't that the truth? Amen. Well, I appreciate the good number. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I just thank you for coming, Brother Duncan, and these other preachers. I don't know you. I heard the names, but I don't even know where you're at. So, amen. If you, if they frown at me, I know they're preachers, brother. Amen. They got to be preachers because preachers don't smile too much nowadays, you know. And, well, I just take you back. We have a little smile every once in a while. So, I appreciate coming, being here with you. And I appreciate the favor of God. I'm sitting there thinking about how the Lord has knitted our hearts together in these years. Yeah. I came up here with Brother Duncan, brought me up in a preacher's fellowship. Well, how many years now been, Brother Duncan? Seven, eight, I don't know how many years. And I came up and preached in that fellowship, and God just let us come. And it's been good. It's been good to work with you, to be up here with you. Things we went through. We went through a few things together now, you know. I mean, He knits your hearts together. I believe the Lord does that, don't you? I believe He'll put you together if you let Him. We don't need to compare or compend any other way. We just need to take what God has given us and enjoy the goodness of God in our life and love one another, you know, and abide in the way and wait on Jesus. Amen. And just wait on Jesus. He's soon to come. He's going to take that other crowd where we think they are or not. But you know what I mean. Some of them, you wonder where in the world. I'm not talking about the lost crowd. I'm talking about, you know, the arguments and the fusses we got going on nowadays. So let us just stay together with one another. Keep together in this day and honor God together. And let's why don't we just get the benefits of God? You know, and let the Lord bless us. And let God work in our life. And let Him do something with us in these days. We're as able to receive it as our fathers were. I mean, we're born again. We have the Holy Ghost, and we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and we got access to that throne, and we got His Word, amen. We got His Bible, and we got everything that we need to be able to dwell here and abide here, and wait on Him. So let's just why don't we. I don't like the old phrase. Why don't we just have a revival? I mean, why don't we just have a way? Let God just restore us and revive us and put us in the way for the coming of Jesus. Amen. For you as a visitor, I preached Sunday morning on the violence before the silence before the violence in Habakkuk. But we got on an intercession prayer there. Talking about revive thy work in midst of wrath. Revive thy work in the midst of the years. Remember mercy. In your wrath, remember mercy. In God's wrath, please, God, remember mercy. Remember mercy. Remember it. God doesn't forget anything, but I don't know why we got to remind Him. You know what I mean? God, remember this, and He don't forget nothing. I don't figure that out. I can't figure it out. I don't know. I guess He's wanting us to remember more than Him to remember. He already knows. So you can take it up with Him when I go. He's past finding out with me. I mean, I can't find Him out. His ways are not my ways, and No, preacher said one time, God's thought got in your mind, it'd blow your brains out. If you got one of God's thoughts in your mind, it'd blow your brains out. He's beyond understanding. He's beyond reasoning. You can't figure him out. Well, what do I need to do? Obey him. That's what you need to do. Just obey him. You say, I don't know what to do. Oh, yeah, you do. You know what to do. Right there it is, buddy. You know what to do. Now what we got to do is do it. And that's lots of big old words, but do, D-O, and I-T, do it. Do it. That's what we got to do is do it. You know, and I'm going to give you something to do tonight. It's going to be real hard. A lot of things God's pretty easy, but this tonight's going to be a hard thing to do. Open your Bibles to Ephesians, please. I believe the Lord will have us to preach in these days here on anger and violence and those areas. I'm going to touch on anger again tonight. We talked to the young people yesterday afternoon in afternoon service on removing anger in their life as young people. In Ecclesiastes, it talks about as a young man heartily and his ambition and desires. And he said, but know one thing, young man, remove that anger. Remove that sorrow out of your life. Amen. Remove that anger. You got to get it out. You know, but I'm going to come to another way here where God permits it in a certain way. Ephesians, please, chapter 4, and we'll stand again as we reverence God's word, and I'll read two verses, and then we'll try to give you the message tonight. Appreciate the good food this evening. Our brother took us out and fed us, and you know, and he didn't have much time to talk to us, but we sure got to eat, didn't we, Brother Tony? We eat anyway, and we didn't say too much anyway. I didn't open my mouth. I didn't say nothing, did I, Miss Mariah? Amen. I didn't say nothing. I was just real quiet. Amen. All right. We're going to read 26 and 27. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Amen. There's a young preacher here. I used to, or he's just still thinking about it. He's my friend. It's Daniel Shock. Daniel, you pray for me, would you, Brother Daniel? All right, brother.
See that Holy One.
Oh, God.
Lord, may we feel your presence. May you speak to Brother Harvey. Lord, fill him with your word.
Yes.
With your heart with his word. With your word, Lord, we thank you for this time again.
Yes.
Lord, I pray you would please bless in Jesus' name.
Amen. You be seated. Well, there's two different messages I preached out of here, and I'd you know, try to give a title to some of them. I might preach in this other area later on in the week. I'd like to preach tonight, though, on the worst sunset in your life. The worst sunset in your life. And let's take context for a minute. Let's briefly go through the chapter there. We see Paul talking to the church of Ephesus and of the Ephesians. In verse 3, he talks about, in chapter 4, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in bond of peace.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a pretty hard thing to do, ain't it? Keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You notice that the Word of God has got instructions. You know, I said to us yesterday about Sunday how good it was. We just had a good atmosphere. God just made it good, and we shouted and sang and went on, and preaching was at liberty, and everything else. But during the week, I said, before the week's out, God's going to speak to us about what he needs to do. I mean, I'm glad of worship. I'm glad of singing and praising the Lord. But he's got something to tell us to do. He's got a way that he wants us to walk and a way that he wants us to work. Daniel was a real good friend of mine. He was just a boy, and his dad and his mom and all them used to come down to our tent meeting years ago, and he'd come up and said, Brother Donnie, I can still remember those meetings. I can still remember those times, you know, and those meetings. And you'll never forget what God does in your life. I don't care. You'll always remember those things where God does something in your life. I don't care. My brother had an aneurysm in his head, and he fell in the pulpit. He'd pastored for 20-something years, and he fell right behind the pulpit. And they took him up there, and you know how it is when it's bleeding in the head. They said if I open him up, he could be blind. He could not remember anything and all those things that they said about Daniel, you know. Everything in the world could happen. He couldn't remember nothing and everything else. Well, they did that, and he didn't remember anybody. He didn't know anybody for a while. He didn't know our names, didn't know who anybody was. But when they were bringing him out, of the script, he's good at quoting scriptures. He was witnessing to those nurses and quoting scripture. He couldn't remember us. He couldn't remember his family. He didn't even know he had a grandchild. He couldn't remember nothing. But he could not forget them scriptures. He quoted scriptures left and right as they wheeled him out. He'd quote scriptures to them. Hey, you can't forget the Word of God, brother. You'll not forget the Word of God. No, no, no way. The Word of God is powerful. I've heard of sales, and I've never seen it, that some people have been in comas, and I've heard stories about how that the person had walked, sat there and read the Bible to them as they laid in the coma. And after a while, they said that they would arise up at some, I don't know how the story was, but that reading of the Word kept coming to them and coming to them and coming to them. And finally they came out of the coma and they looked up at them, you know what I mean? Oh, hey, the Word of God is the healer. The Word of God is the helper. The Word of God is what moves the people. Oh, man, I'm getting in a scenario. I don't mean to get in these areas, but I'm getting there. The Word of God will heal the mind of man. The Word of God will heal the mind of man. If you want some healing in that mind and you want to get into sound thinking, you want to have a sound thought, if you want to sleep a good night's sleep, let the Word of God get in your mind and stay in your heart. You'll be able to sleep like a baby with the Word of God. Amen. You want to tell the devils out of your mind at night? Start quoting the Word of God to him. Amen. Start memorizing Scripture. Get up and read your Bible. Go in there and hold the Bible down and start looking at the Bible and just reading it. He'll have to leave. He can't get in when that Word's there. Amen. He can't get in. You're thinking on God's Word. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. Amen. On thee, which is God. Amen. Amen. Well, there's a unity. There's a people in the believers with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. I told you I was going to tell you something to do is hard to do. It's hard to do, ain't it? I want to say tonight that we need a revival because we are not doing that. We are not doing that. I said we now. We are not in loneliness and meekness and with long suffering, forbearing one another. We are not doing it.
Amen.
We are not forbearing one another. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Yeah, the Bible preaches itself. I don't have to have an outline. I got a little tease there. Unity. Unity. Hey, we have one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, our Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Amen.
Hey.
Tell that to all these other people think there's a many gods. There's just one God and one Lord and one faith and one baptism and one hope. It's one, buddy, one. There ain't many ways. There are not many roads. There's just one God, one way, one faith, and one Lord. Amen. Say amen right there. Amen. Just one way. Not all these other ways. Not all this stuff that's going on. Tell it to our president too. Amen. There's just one God and absolute authority. Amen. I don't care. I'm not tolerating any other ones. There's just one way to heaven, and it's the only way, and that's through Jesus. Amen. One way, buddy. Amen. One way. One way. One way. We need a revival of God's church and the work of God.
Hey,
we need to have some people that believe that it's just, oh, you Baptists, you don't think you're the only ones got it. Hey, if I didn't think I got it, I'd go where I could get it.
Yeah.
Amen, amen. If I didn't have no confidence in it, I'd go somewhere where I know that they do have it.
Yeah.
Amen. I know. I know who I believe in. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that. I know who am I talking about. You know who you're talking about. I know him. Amen. I don't have to work to be saved either, buddy. And I don't have to work to be keep saved either. I got saved in you. I got born again. I got one Lord. I got one faith. I got one hope. I got one baptism. You ever been baptized in the Holy Ghost? Yeah, I got baptized. Amen. 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 You are a Baptist, aren't you? All right, everyone. Amen. You all think you got it. I won't go over that again. Not only is there a unity. That's why you said amen. There was a little unity on that, wasn't it? Our little unity in that. Not uniform. Unity. Amen. We're united. Unity in this body. By the Spirit. Oh, Lord.
Yep.
Not only is there a unity, there's an authority. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but he did? He ascended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended in the same also ascended up far above the heavens, that he might be fulfilled all things. Mm-hmm. You do believe that he down then went in the center of the earth, don't you? Led captivity captive, don't you? Brought him up, and as he's coming up, he had the blood in his hand, didn't he? He had to stop off in the garden, talk to Mary just a little bit, though. You know what I mean? Just to help her out. Boy, that woman must have had some kind of place with God, wasn't it?
Yeah.
She must have had something, you know.
Yeah.
He stopped off on the business to go to heaven, offer up the blood to tell her, say, Mary. He just stopped off just a few minutes. Hey, that saint of God, that old Mary Magdalene, she was out there weeping, crying over that. And the Lord Jesus is on his way to make a high priest offering up into the heavens, going to cleanse us for our sin and offer up the blood. And he stopped off to her. Why did he stop off for her? She wanted to know where he's at. Where is he? I can find him. And she said, oh, what have you done with him? Where in the world is he, you know? What a love. I think that's what caused him to stop. She's sitting there loving him so much. Where is he? I believe he'll stop all of heaven. I believe God will stop all of anything. If somebody just love him a big time. If somebody just love him. He'd stop everything just to come to where you're at. He'll come to where you're at if you just let him. Amen. He went on to heaven. He went up to heaven. He cleansed the path for us. He went through there and he made us whole. Amen. That blood cleanses from the earth all the way through the heavens and is fresh and anew upon the mercy seat. It's out of the heavens right now. That's the only way you can get there. That's the only way you'll ever get there is by the blood. And that's the only way you'll ever go in to pray is by the blood. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I don't need nobody to have a collar turned around backwards to get me to heaven. Amen. There ain't no way. I don't need nobody to tell me. There ain't nobody between me and God but an intercessor named Jesus Christ. He's my great high priest. He's already made a way for me. All I got to do is cry out. Amen. All I got to do is pray. Amen. Amen. That Bible's good, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Bible's good. You know what a preacher does all the time? He tries to figure out something else to preach. Preach everything else. Just preach a book. It'll do what needs to be done. Just preach a book. Amen. People that love the book have a time with it. You don't know what the book says, you won't have a time. Amen. Amen. Hey, but he gave some authority there. He gave some apostles and some prophets. You know, I believe those ministers, those places have ceased. And some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And I'm getting to think evangelists have ceased too. You know what I mean in a minute. Because they're not used too much. Every once in a while, thank God, they get to use a little bit. I pastored for 18 years. Somebody told me, he said that day, he said, Brother Harvey, you're not preaching a lot of meetings as evangelists, you know. I preach more meetings as a pastor. I ain't kidding you, I preach all the time as a pastor. You know, but then I got my kind of evangelism, and it seemed like everything just, you know. I don't know what happened. And I had a young preacher boy said, Brother Harvey, maybe God's easing out this ministry of evangelism. You know, and all it's going to be is pastors and teachers. I said, I don't know. I think it's still in there, but I think the charge is over in 2 Timothy 4, ain't you? Do the work of evangelists. Amen. Amen. I believe the evangelist is still a person in the work of God.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I still think he's a portion of the church and his body of Christ, and he ought to be used. Amen. I'm not seeking for meetings because I've done made myself a lot of doors, shut a lot of doors. I go out and start saying things like this. I ain't looking for meetings. I ain't looking for money. Neither one. I'm just looking for God. I'm just looking for God. And wherever God's going to show up, I won't be there. That's all I say. God, just wherever you send me, just be there. Well, and I want to tell you something tonight. It seems like lately, as I tell Brother Tony and him, everywhere I go, he just seems to be there lately. That's all I want is him to be there. If he's there, I'm happy. If he's there, everything will be done. I don't need to do nothing. I just let know he's there. And if he's there, friend, he'll take care of all that we need. If he's around, he'll finish the work. Amen. Amen. Thank God. If God would give us the favor to one another, it's God. If God would let us be able to come together, it's God. But if you ever start grieving him, you ever start getting in the wrong way in my heart toward God, we grieve him, then we'll get in trouble. But don't grieve God. Don't grieve God. I'll take you to do what God said to do. Honor God. Love God. Amen. It'll do the work. It'll do the work.
Yes, it will.
Well, I'm going to try to get over here just about being angry. But I'm preaching this good positive stuff right now, and you're shouting. Amen. You know, it's hard to take that bad stuff. It's like castor oil. You know? Yeah, it'll help you. It'll help you. Hey, not only authority. I do believe in the authority of the church, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
I don't believe in the arrogance and high-mindedness and the haughtiness or dictatorship. But I believe in the authority and the leadership of the church. I believe in the authority and the leadership of the home. Husband, wife, and children. I believe in the authority and the leadership of our country. You know, our presidents and ordinances and all the other things. God has set up and ordained authority. Now, ladies, you want me to leave it alone? Okay. You better get your eyes off of them. You know her ministry now. She's going to tell you, yes, they do. You know. You better get your eyes off from her. That's not what the Bible says. And say, husband, you better take your place. Lead your home. Guide your home. Stand in the way you ought to. Get in the gates. Stand in the way for God. Woman, make a good biscuit for him. Amen. Son, you know, shine his shoes. That's what my daddy did, my mama. You know, she, every Sunday morning, his suit would be hanging on that nail. That coat, that suit would be right there, and right below there would be his shoes. She shined them that night before. You know what he did to her? You know what he did to her? He beat her. No. He loved her. He loved her, brother. He protected her. He provided for her. He showed her the way. And all she had to do was follow him because she knew her man would take care of her. That's what she called. That's my man. That's my man. Amen. That's my man. And then he said, oh, that's my woman. Oh, man. It's still right, ain't it? Boy, wouldn't it be good if we get our children and our church and our homes back in that way?
Yes, sir.
To find the preciousness of a family and find the preciousness of that. Find the power in men's lives to be the men. Find the glory in women's lives to have the glory of God on their life. Find that goodness in the church and that goodness in our community. Amen. That one just have joy in the Lord and full of the Spirit and have a good time loving the Lord. Be able to go out and fish with your old boy, your young boy, with a goodness in his heart. be able to take the times around with your children and just have those good things that are around. Hey, this world is corrupt. They're not. They might be having a time, but friend, it's sickening. It's causing such destruction. They'll never be satisfied with all the pleasures. And they call it home. There ain't nothing about calling it home. There ain't no home about it, buddy. Nothing about it is home. I want to say home is demonstrated and instructed in the Bible. You want to find out what a home's about it? Read the Word of God. God will tell you what a home ought to be. God will show you what you ought to have. Amen. All we got to do is just line up. Just line up, quit looking for feelings, and start doing what he says. Yeah. Quit coming looking to pat your foot. He'll pat your foot when you get the feeling good. Yeah. But you got to get the feeling good before you start to patting your foot. If you get the feeling good and then try to do something, you get in trouble. But if you get to doing something for God and then you get the feeling good, it's a doing good. You know what? Hey. It's a doing good. Amen, amen, amen. If you come in here because God told you to come, you come in here and honor God because he said to. If you come in here because God said, this is your church. If you come in here and be obedient to God, don't worry. If you obey him and you love him and you serve him, you'll get a feeling. You'll get a feeling. You'll get a feeling. Amen. You'll get a feeling in your life. Amen. Amen. Not only should there be any authority, there ought to be some maturity.
Yeah.
Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. And the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man. Unto a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I mean, that's the Bible.
Yeah.
You know what? Now, all we have nowadays is somebody trying to, I don't know what they're doing. You know, I mean, it's a mess.
Yes, sir.
To perfecting of the saints. Maturing. And the best way I can say it is get it down in our old terms where we can understand. Grow up. Just grow up, you old grouchy thing. Grow up!
Hey.
You know? Every time I look at Daddy, he looks at me like I'm about to kill him. I don't do it. Sometimes I don't look that way. Just most of the time. You ever got your children in such a way that you'd be sitting there and my daughter's 40 years old and got 6 kids. Amen. But she still come by me and I'd be sitting there and I'll just be looking at her. Pretty the button too, ain't she, sister? Pretty the button, buddy. I'm telling you. Godly young lady. She, yeah. He's already took me out, bro. That's why he said he can go on and be that way now, so he done got his duty done. He took me to church last night. So she go by, don't pay attention to him. He's him. She go by and I'll be looking at her. What'd I do, Dad? I'm 40 years old. What did I do? I said, you guilty? No, I ain't done nothing. I ain't done nothing. I mean, 40 years old, 6 kids, been married, I don't know how long. And she still says, what did I do, Dad? She's growing up. She's grown up. But she still has respect for authority. And she still honors her dad.
Amen.
And she still loves me. So she sat down beside me the other day. She come over and said, Dad, I'm going to tell you what happened in Sunday school the other morning. She said, they got all over that place and God started dealing with me. And she's going, brrr. You know, and I'm just sitting there and all I did hook up real close to her and hugged her, you know. And then later I said, I love you. Hey, man, I look at her and just, I love you. Hey, perfecting the saints. Yeah. Growing them up.
Yeah,
we got to grow our children up.
Yeah.
We got to grow our church up. We got to grow these young people up,
hey,
learning how to be Christians, learning how to be mature saints, learning the Word of God, learning what the home's about, learning how to love the Lord, how to live for God, how to serve Him, how to have a happy home, how to be right with God.
Amen.
There ain't no other way, friend, to have a successful life but through Jesus Christ and through His way. There's no other way. Young people, I forgot to give you that one. Pow, wow, and cow, now. Remember the pow, wow, cow? I got one more. Now. The POW was a prisoner of war.
Yeah.
We got that and sitting back down. But I've had this, and now is no other way.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
No other way. I'm sorry. I call them up every once in a while, and I'll tell them, it's still the same, kids. God ain't changed. He ain't changed it for you. He ain't changed it for this society. The way is still the same. The home is still the same. God's still the same. He's the same today, yesterday, forever. He never. Five times is the tense of that verb. He never changes. You know what? If you're lost tonight, he'll no wise cast out. Amen. Hell that cometh unto him, he'll save. He'll not throw you away. He'll not cast you away. I tell you what, and he'll never leave you or forsake you. Amen. I don't care what year it is or what time it is. We need to perfect him up into the fullness of Christ. Yeah, boy. You ain't seen nothing. You see a young person get full of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Son, I mean, shit. I've seen this one preacher get full down there in Florida. He's preaching to the wall. Ain't kidding you. They were shouting back there and some getting saved. They're shouting all over the place. And the daddy's up here shouting, and that young preacher boy just announced his call to preach. He'd run over and preach to the wall. He's up preaching up a storm. He ran over to me, he's preaching like that, and I just look at him. He didn't run back over here and hit a preacher like over here, preaching over here. And that preacher, he's so full, he couldn't stop. You say, oh, probably just happened. It's about 1 o'clock. He had to leave and go to work. He said, I had to see somebody about Jesus. Guess what, Brother Harvey called at 1 o'clock. He was going to work or had to do something. He said, I found an old boy on the side of the road. He just got saved. Amen. He said, amen. Hey, you get full of the Holy Ghost, you'll tell anybody. You'll tell a stump. You'll tell a bitch. You'll tell anything that you say. You'll tell your dog. You'll tell your cat that Jesus saved you and you're saved. And that's what you'll tell them. You get full of the Holy Ghost. Not soul winning 101. Son, I ain't even got to being angry. Don't look like any of you is mad. I'll make you mad some way or another. It's been easy doing all these years. We henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You ever heard some of the silliest things people say to you now they think is with God?
Yeah.
That's some of the craziest things you've ever heard. I say, well, the Lord said this. I said, where did he say that? Well, I don't know. My preacher said it. Is that where you get your doctrine from? I ought to be the teacher. He ought to be a teacher.
Yeah.
But you better get on your knees and get that Bible down and ask the Holy Ghost to make sure he's telling you the truth.
Hey.
You better get a hold of God and say, God, is he telling me the truth or not? You know? Trust in no man. Trust in the Lord.
Amen.
If that preacher ain't leading you toward Christ, you ought to get away from him anyway. He's not turning you toward Jesus. If he's turning you for himself or turning you to him and his program, his plan, his building, his money, and everything else, if he wants you to be part of him, you better just leave that fellow alone.
Amen.
If he wants you to be part of Christ's body, and he wants you to love the Lord, and he wants you to live for him, and he wants to tell you about the Bible and give you the truth, then I think I'd follow him. As an example. If he's wanting to tell me about Jesus, and he wants me to be what Jesus wants to be, and he's telling me what that Bible is, then I think I believe that old boy's right on target. You know what I mean? Well, most people go to churches just because ain't uncles and cousins and aunts and, you know, and I like it down there.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. That's exactly.
Don't make no difference anything about truth.
Yeah.
Don't make a bit of difference about truth. You know, no pad, pouchy thing, you know, I ain't going up there no more. Johnny couldn't sing.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, they didn't treat me right.
Yeah.
You know, they wouldn't even shake my hand.
Yeah.
You know, quit shaking them hands, boy. Boy, you ain't no more, brother. That's immaturity, bud. I'm telling you. A week? And I'm trying to get to the text. Probably won't. Just going. You having a hard time with that camera, ain't you? Thing going every which way. Hey, you can go back. I've got a lot of people just went crazy with them things. They said, Brother Harvey couldn't keep it on you for nothing. I said, don't try. I didn't see anybody. Just way bigger, wide span, all right? Amen. I'll get to the burden of what I'm supposed to tell you tonight, and we'll quit. Well, if you got maturity and authority and unity, you better have some charity. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things. An effectual working body. See in verse 16? An effectual working in the measure of every part. Increasing in the body, edifying itself in love. It's hard to love one another nowadays, ain't it? Loving one another. You keep that on us all Sunday morning. Remember, Brother Queen, you kept telling me, loving one another. Love one another. And the day when love is waxing cold, and I just thought, I thought on that today about of our Laodicea. He said, I'd rather you were cold, or hot,
right,
than lukewarm. and I'm not condoning getting cold in your heart toward God, but it might just do us a little good to get cold. Getting cold in our heart toward God. He said, I'd rather you be cold than just lukewarm.
Yeah.
Just the way I'm what goes on. Yeah. Just lukewarm, just running through life. Lukewarm.
Yeah.
Indifferent. I'd rather have my heart, God, I'm cold toward you. I'm cold toward you, God. I'm cold. I don't feel that love I used to feel. I'm cold.
You need to get some help.
And how about he said, how about you be hot, fiery, zealous. Somebody, I'd like to see somebody with zeal. Somebody with zeal that's doing wrong. I mean, still got some kind of fire in her soul. Still got a fire. They might be a zealot. That's the word zealous. Zealous. But I'd rather see somebody hot for God or doing the best they can and making a mess. Amen. And not doing what they'll do than to be lukewarm and have no love and have no zeal just to be indifferent to it. We need love. Then watch out for the vanity. Verse 17. Henceforth walking as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Vanity's a vanity. You ever seen such a vain generation? Vanities, brother. Vain. And in their mind, it's vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feelings have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. My money. It's describing the saying, it's describing this country.
Come on.
It's describing this country. Never seen such vanity. Then we come to the angry. Be ye angry, and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. The word be is the word of being something. Be ye angry. It's be ye filled with the Spirit. God has given a commandment there, be ye angry, or he's given an allowance there. Or he said, he's acknowledging that there is a passion in you that is there. It's a natural passion. It's there. Anger is there as of a natural love.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And he said, be ye angry. Now, one of the titles of that message is God's looking for a good PR man. And you say, well, what do you mean, public relations? No, pure rage. God's looking for somebody that's got pure anger.
Come on.
That will be angry, but not sin.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? Sir.
Yeah.
Now, best way I can illustrate it is that you get angry as it rises up against something that's wrong.
Yeah.
Anger rises up to something that's wrong. Anger rises up to protect yourself. Anger rises up when something is coming at you that's wrong.
Yeah.
Hey. You mean you can watch the television and not get mad?
Come on,
Brad. You can watch that and not get angry?
Yeah.
Something wrong with you. Something wrong with you. What I mean, Brother Harvey, you mean I can get angry? Yes. But I got something else you got to do. Sin not. Now let's talk about that. Sir. Sin not. Let me have that fella. I'll hang him. You know, give me my M16, buddy. I'm ready to go take the government down. Let me get my uniform on. Fall out, men. Everyone's in our fall out. 500 hours tomorrow morning. You be ready to go. Hear me? Test it. Soldier done with yes. He done reacted. He's trained to react to a command.
Hey.
Now you give me some understanding about a soldier killing somebody. Do it. 23 men killed themselves in Iraq. One preacher boy went in there and he came and he had a nervous breakdown. They sent him home. I was preaching up in Newport to a young preacher boy. And he went down and preached the first unit of the 1st Infantry Division, 2nd, 6th Infantry. He preached they're going away to Iraq over there, and there was a member of his church was a boy named Daniel. He met named Daniel. And he came to that meeting one night, and I was preaching. He came walking up, and he had my unit on his T-shirt. And I said, it's my unit. And I said, you can have that and everything. And so we preached and everything. And he left, and he went to Iraq and came back. He called me the other day, and I wrote him a letter just last week. Called me the other day. That preacher called me. I went up there and preached. I was preaching for him. He said, and his mom and dad was in there, and I preached on God's looking for some pure rage. She said, Brother Donnie, you know that boy that you preached to? A man, he was a man. And he must have been more in the SFC, Sergeant First Class, because they busted him to that. So he must have been the Master Sergeant or above SFC. And they said he came back from Iraq. It was his second tour, and he said when he got back, he said he stood in front of the lieutenant, and he raged insane. He raged at him, said his anger, and he raged at him, and they said they put him in Fort Riley under psychological analyzation. So, you know, because he raged at him. Now, they take you in there and they train you to react and don't think. You ain't paid to think. And they take you, brother, and then some of you have been in there, and they get right in the face and beat you down. They had me down on the ground doing push-ups. I wasn't doing a thing, just standing there, parade rest, going in challenge. Just sitting there looking, I can't just stray in there. And you come up to you and get right in your face, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're moving!
Yeah.
No, sir. No. No, drill sergeant! See, that's why I got a loud voice. You wouldn't say, no, drill sergeant, I'm not moving. No, you wouldn't say that. I promise you, you wouldn't say that. Anyway, it's a fallout, you know. Yeah, give me 50. And you're pushing and pushing. You know, you get up. Too slow. Get up.
Get up.
Get back down. You didn't get down for it. Get back up. You know what I mean? It's all the time, you know. I'm getting down there, man. I'm just getting this. This is basic. This ain't even AIT, not infantry training. This is basic. And he said, you know what I mean? It's a rising up, buddy. It's a rising up. You know, and get up. And tears start running down my eyes. He said, you want to hit me, don't you? Yes, drill sergeant! You can't hit me, though, private, can you? No, drill sergeant, but you want to. Yes, drill sergeant. Get back in line. Now, they're training you to obey. Not think, because it'll take care of your life. Because when it happens, you gotta react. You gotta react. Don't think. React. That's how you get that kind of mind. I'll give you this life experience and let that be an illustration to you on being angry. We'll take that son during the week. Now my stories ain't from other men's. This is mine. This is mine. So I can tell it the same way every time. I don't have to lie about it. You know what I mean? I can tell you the same thing every time. I heard a bunch of evangelists. They got all kinds of stories, and they ain't been one time. They probably could tell it better than me, but I'm telling you the truth. Or some of them can tell it in a way, boy, and get you I'm telling you the truth. I went on through and got into Vietnam. Didn't stop all the story. We was talking to somebody about it. And I was telling somebody, let me just jump on place, wave. It took me weeks to get to where I was going. And I was 19 years old. And never been out of Tennessee. This is as far as north I've been, too. I'm trying to meet you strangers. No, I'm not kidding you. This is this church that's blessed by my heart. Y'all just right down my line. I like the way you worship, you know. I didn't know they had this kind of churches up here. You know, I know it like this. But I never met anything. I'd been in Tennessee. I was in that little hills there about a Baptist church. My daddy's a deacon. All we knew was church, and that's all I ever knew. Never heard cussing, drinking, smoking, cussing, doing anything. My mama was a modest lady from the day I ever. I never remember her ever being immodest.
Amen.
All I ever heard was a boy on the radio sitting on the refrigerator. We called it refrigerator. This Frigidaire was a brand name, but we thought that was what that thing was. It wasn't a refrigerator. It was Frigidaire. It was a brand. Am I right?
Yeah.
Or Frigidaire? And I said, that's what that thing is. It's a refrigerator. No, a Frigidaire. It's a Frigidaire. That's how it was, you know. That's what I thought it was. No, that was the name of it. But anyway, she had a little old radio sitting up there, and every day, I'd hear it coming on. Some golden daybreak. Jesus will come.
Yeah.
Some golden daybreak, shadows all one. Hello there, neighbors. This is Brother Harold B. Sattler from Tabernacle preaching to you today. Well, so-and-so said to pray for this. They have them old mellow, old voices, you know. Mama be in there just humming around, you know, humming around the kitchen. About the time he gets done, it comes, another one comes on. Oliver B. Green. That's all I remember as a boy, you know. That's all I remember, you know, and I get out there in the garden and everything else. But anyway, I mean, I'm headed in this country, and, you know, and I've done went through down there, and Mama's little baby's done been in the... That's Mama's little baby. You got your better take care of my baby. If she knew what that, she'd killed them all, buddy. She would have killed them all. You know, and then here we are, and I'm over there, and I'm going in, and I'm in country, and I'm going here and headed back, and up war zone sea, all the way back into Cambodian border, way back in there, finally, after 2 or 3 weeks, way back there, replacing the unit, completely wiped out, got placed in a ranger unit, and coming all the way back there, and getting way back there, and finally get way back there, and after the first night, I had most contact in my life, I don't 400 something, all that first night was unbelievable, and I was just young, green, you know, just didn't know nothing, and here I'm going, you know, just a young boy, just a kid, and going into the board, going in there. And then that night after that happened, we got up the next day and run out, and we got out what they call S&D, went out and had two killed, and killed two snipers. And we brought them back, and we laid them on the ground, and we put them there on the poncho liners, underneath the poncho liner. And we didn't call the medevac in because the LZ's too hot, wasn't no sense risking their lives. So we was waiting the next day, and that morning about 5 o'clock, I'm trying to get this thing done fast. I come by there, and I stand there, and I look down there, and the RPG rounds come in, and I start stopping, and I looked at it, and I went over that poncho line, them 2 feet sticking out, Brother Duncan. I kicked that foot like that. And I said, they're dead, big boy. You better understand they're dead. Something happened. Something happened to me. I don't know. Something happened to me. I don't know what it is. I know one thing. I'm not going to die. You know, I mean, I don't. Something got something. You know, something. I'm not going to die. I got a heart. And that's from that moment on, I didn't care about nothing. Nobody, no nothing, anything. I didn't care about nothing. No, and I don't know if that's right. I don't know whether it's right or not. All I can say is that God, through His mercy, brought me back home from war. Amen. I was a lost man. I was lost. I thought I was saved as a young boy at 12 years old. But on a Sunday morning, 1979, at the Royal Hill Baptist Church inside the priest's study, I bowed on my knees and thank Jesus Christ, my Savior. God came in my life, and I've been different ever since. And ever since that day, God has been trying to dig the angry and the power of hardness out of my heart. God's been working on my anger. Sitting down in Florida, because I'm known to be a mean preacher. You just come down home, you'll find out. Old Melvin Biggs is an ex-20-year SEALs. He's preaching, Simon, Satan have desire to have you in sifty as wheat. He come over there, brother, and he come down through there, and he's preaching, and he said, soldier, there's things in your heart that only God can get out. He was a preaching hard too, buddy. I just started crying. He scared him to death. He walked away. He thought, well, what did I do to him, you know? He went on preaching. He didn't come over no more. Got the invitation. I ran up on that altar. I laid down on that altar, brother. And I said, God, I don't know about war. And I don't know about all the people that died. And I don't know how many I might have killed. I don't know how many I might have been in my hands. I said, but Lord, help me. Help me. And that's the only thing I can tell these men that having problems with their minds, and now these that's returned from there, and you know there's a bunch of them having trouble with their minds. I won't tell you all tonight, if it wasn't for the Word of God and me getting saved, I could be right where they're at. I want to tell you how good God is. I don't care how great He is. He's given me a sound mind, brother. And through His Word, He's given me a sound mind. I'm clothed and in the right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. I don't say one thing. I want to learn how to be angry and sin not. I want to learn how to stand for God and still not sin. I want to learn how to stand for my country and still be a Christian. I want to learn how to stand with my children and still be a father. I don't want to sin, but I want to be angry. I don't want no whip for a son. And I don't want no harlot for a daughter. I want a good young man. And I want a shining, glowing daughter. Got a wonderful smile. sing the jump up and sing just like he's just singing up a storm. But I turn around that young man, I want to see something out of him. Not arrogance, not high minds, but I want to say, I'll fight, Dad. If it's time for me to fight, I'll fight like I need to fight. You know, and it's not being the wrong way. It's not for them to be a sadistic or a mercenary. That's why they're killing themselves, people. That's why our young men are killing themselves. They don't know how to be angry and sin not. They have not been formed in right character. We need God to get us back in a place that we can teach our children and get them in the house of the Lord. Some of you older men and some of you preachers, you need a revival to get those people in, that you can get the Word of God to those kids. We need some mamas and daddies that will get back in the house of God and get their kids out of this stuff that's going on nowadays. Get them back in here. Get them in Sunday school. Get them under the preaching. Get them under the Word of God. Make a house. Make a family. Make a home. Walk through that door, about 16 kids right behind you, and fall right in here and sit down with their little pretty frilly dresses on. And that big old boy sitting right there, you know. And the daddy said, amen. And the boy said, amen. And mama's going, woo, woo, woo. You know what I mean? Mama's just shouting it out. And daddy's just sitting there. And you can't tell me anything's better than that. There ain't nothing as good as that. There ain't nothing as good as to see a young kid or a daddy and a mama praising God or living for us. There ain't nothing as good as that. There ain't nothing good as that. And we ain't here this week to see Donnie Harvey or Brother Queen or Brother Duncan or you preachers. We're here to see God do something in our lives. We're here to see God change our homes and change our, we're to see God a move in our midst. Amen.
Amen.
Where are you going? Things about over anyway. I've got all kinds of plans. Ditch them. Who cares about them? Folks, not tomorrow. The most important thing right now is God. Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. First. First, then all these things will be added unto you. And if you seek those things, you're going down the wrong trail. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Amen. Amen. I ain't done. I'll quit. Well, come over camp meeting. It's like that over there too. Amen, Brother Duncan. Amen. You know what needs to be done, though, don't you, Brother Duncan? Those preachers take it home, put it in their church. That's what camp meeting's all about. Is come in camp meeting, get fired up, go back to your church and have it there. Have it there. Then bring your church together again with a bunch of fellows you love, just some fellowship with. Shout it out and encourage one another. Preach on sin, love Jesus, hate the devil. Throw it all out, man. Just let her go. Anyway, all that, just turn that hell up and that house to save you. And then go back to that house and go back to that church. Put that same fire in your church. Put it in the church. We're at Brother Queen's church this week. It's Brother Queen. His people. We appreciate your visitors. We're trying to have a revival this week. Just seeking anything. That's what everybody said. That's what you said. Now, I didn't get into all the rest of it on anger, what he said to do. How about being tenderhearted, loving one another, forgiving each other? How about let God tear out all that hardness in your heart and bitterness against people? Now, between each other, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the atmosphere of God when we come through the door. Forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. Don't hold grudges. Tell God to take them away. Forgive them. Forget it.
Be kind one to another. That's what it says, ain't it? I didn't preach on chewing, dipping, scuffing, going to heaven. I didn't say none of that. I hit the one that really hurt you. That man inside. That spiritual man. That man inside is where we're really hurting. You need to look right, walk right, spit white. I'll preach that. You know what I mean? You ought to. But we're a mess inside. We're a mess inside. If you're cold tonight, you might be in good shape being cold. Just ask God to warm your heart. Why don't you do that, Faith Baptist, this week? If you're cold, you've got to come to God. You've got to draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. You can't expect to get anything until you come and ask Him. Now, if you're zealous tonight, you're fired up, roaring high, and you're one of the best there is, and you're causing a lot of problems, you better learn how to get that zeal under control.
Yes, sir. Amen.
As soon as you walk into a place you don't cause nothing but problems, you need to get that zeal under control. You need to be fiery, but know about sin doing it. Okay, brother, you know how to handle me. You'll learn before the week's out. Just let her go, bud. Amen. Everybody come that will come. All right. Amen. I'll give one line and I'll give it to the preacher. Come ahead, Brother Queen.